I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33 and 44 through 52. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Let us begin looking at this scripture. I really debated for a long time about the title. At first I thought maybe the title should be Simplicity. Then I thought maybe the title should be Seeds. But then I got to thinking about Roger, and he loves long titles, so I put Relevancy and Community. But I think it'll all work out eventually. We'll get to see how this plays out. But I want you to think about, to begin with, this part about the mustard seed, because if you remember last Sunday, Jesus talked about seeds. He talks about a mustard seed. Later, he's going to talk about seeds. Seeds are very important. After all, Jesus clearly sees seeds as a perfect example of what not only the kingdom of heaven is like, but what it is like to share the gospel. Metaphorically speaking, seeds are what we as humans plant every day. And here's some examples. As parents, do you not plant seeds with your kids? For you grandparents, do you plant seeds not only for your kids as they grew up, but for your grandchildren? You are a product of what your parents planted in whatever shape or form it takes. Your children are a product of what you planted. And so it goes. Your children learn how to be friends by observing your friendships. If you are quick-tempered, harsh, insensitive, or unkind, your children will either learn to be the same or learn to fear those who are that way. If you are a self-absorbed, self-centered, or egocentric person, your children will learn either to be just like you or to avoid people like you. Likewise, if you are kind, loving, giving, accepting of others, or selfless, your children will most likely learn from your example. You plant those seeds every day from the day they're born. They talk about how babies can tell by your expression whether you're happy or unhappy. They get those expressions from you as a baby. If you're someone who laughs and smiles, chances are your baby will laugh and smile. Now, last Sunday, I'm going to tell you this little story. Last Sunday, I got a call at 7 o'clock in the morning, and my best friend in the Navy passed away. In fact, he was hit by a car. I will tell you this. My aunt passed away 9 months ago. My mother passed away in February, and now he passed away, and I have not shed a tear over any of them. Not because I don't want to. I can't find it in me to do it. I've allowed anger to settle in. So the more angry I became about losing so many people in my life in such a short time, I began to lash out at people. And that's when you really know who your friends are. That's when you look for a friend. Well, last Sunday afternoon, my brother called. And my brother said, "Hey, when are we going to get together and play poker?" Now, don't get excited. We play for pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. The most anyone's ever lost in the last 20 years is $15. And I was glad to take their money. But he's used to doing this at least once, and usually twice a year we get together with a couple of friends of ours. And I became angry. All he's asking me is when are we going to get together? And I said, "I don't need this right now. Leave me alone. I've got other things on my plate. Just leave me alone." And he said, "Wait a minute. I know this isn't about me. What's going on?" And I said, "You don't know anything." He said, "Stop. Take a deep breath." See, it helps if you're a counselor and you teach your brother these things. I should have already known. So I took a breath. He said, "What is going on?" And I explained to him. I said, "I haven't cried about our aunt. I haven't cried about our mother. And I just found out I lost my best friend." And he said, "Tell me about your best friend." So I did. Those are seeds. When my brother said, "Tell me about it," those are seeds. He was planting these seeds of love and understanding and compassion. And so I told him, and he listened for a long time. And he said, "You don't need to be striking out at others. They didn't do anything. Okay? I'm your brother. I'm here for you." Now, I want you to know this too. My brother's 4 years older. And only once in our entire lives have we ever said the words, "I love you." I said it three or four times when he couldn't hear me. He was having triple bypass surgery. And while he was laying there in bed unconscious, I told him. But other than that, we don't say that. That's not the way we were raised. Those seeds weren't planted to just say that. But I knew by the way he responded that he loved me. And I knew that he cared. And he didn't take it personal when I jumped him. He didn't say, "Oh, look what you're doing to me. Oh, my gosh." No. He said, "What's going on with you? This isn't normal. This is not you." And I heard him. So those seeds were planted a long time ago because my brother and I realized when we were kids that my mother would unload on my dad. And my dad wouldn't say a word. We never figured that one out. As kids, we thought he ought to unload on her, but he never did. We also learned that she would start bringing up the past. And this is true. My dad used to always say, he said it once, he said it 100 times, "Every time your mother gets mad, she gets historical." I said, "Dad, you mean hysterical?" He said, "No, she brings up everything I ever did in history." Some people do that. They're not your friends when they say, "Oh, and by the way, 4 years ago you did this, and 10 years ago you did this." That's not helping. It's not about the past. The seeds of the present. So my brother and I, in our late 30s, said, if we ever got angry, we'd never bring up the past, and we never have. It's not helpful. If you have forgiven, then you need to let go, right? So I didn't bring up any of the past, didn't want to, but I unloaded on him pretty good. But I'm thankful that those seeds were planted a long time ago between the two of us, that when someone went off on us that we loved, and we knew that wasn't their normal demeanor, what's going on? What's really happening? I do that much for the people that come into counseling. Some of them really unload on me. And I say, that's fine. You're welcome to do that. So, that's love. Those are the seeds that Jesus talks about. Jesus talks about seeds that when you plant those seeds, they grow in a way in which you can see the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is a place of forgiveness and love. And if you react any other way, what are you showing people when you chew them out or get mad and retaliate rather than asking, what's going on? Has God shown you the kingdom of heaven through a friend or family member? who was compassionate and understanding? Have you seen the kingdom of heaven in your spouse when things were rough and you were teetering on losing hope and losing faith? Was your spouse there to say, honey, what's going on? Let me be there for you. Counseling, for better or worse, can show the true nature of people that, quite frankly, oftentimes I'd rather not see. There is evil in our world that is held in the hearts of so many in our society. I've had individuals sit in front of me telling me how and why they sexually abused their children, as though they could justify it. I had them tell me, but you got to understand, it's not my fault. People believe that. I've had individuals who have told me how and why they physically or emotionally or mentally or all three abused their spouses and tried to justify it. Well, I have a lot of anger, so I take it out on her and I hit her. There are stories I could tell you that, honestly, I think you would be sick if you heard them. So many of them blaming their parents, blaming their spouses, blaming everyone around them except themselves for their behavior. And Jesus talks about planting seeds. So in a counseling session, I try to plant the seeds that will change the behavior using behavior modification. There are so many things that go on in our society where seeds have not been planted for these people to see how we should live and what we should do. Oddly, or perhaps not so oddly, I've had those who were insensitive to their spouse's or child's pain and anguish. If their spouse or child had been hurt, devastated by an event in their lives, and they struck out at others, the person I was counseling actually said they were demanding an apology from their spouse for the pain that they had. Not them, their spouse had. Hey, yeah, so her dad passed away, and she became angry, and I want her to apologize because I didn't kill him. It's not me. And honestly, and here I'm thinking, you're so insensitive. Why didn't you just talk to him? That's part of planting those seeds. Someone didn't give them compassion. Someone didn't give them understanding. Someone didn't give them a sensitive nature. So I deal with this. I deal with people who say things like this, that do things like this. There are people who use sarcasm thinking it's funny. And people are hurt by it. They're actually hurt by it. But they don't get it. They don't understand, or they don't want to understand. So we move on in a session to talk about insensitivity, selfishness, egocentricity, and self-absorption. With people like that, the kingdom of God is not apparent. But why wasn't it? Where were the people who should have planted those seeds to help them understand that you're hurting and not helping? So I ask you, how would you describe the wind or love? One could say the wind is like a feather's touch, or love is a journey. These are effective ways for giving color, life, and meaning to concepts that would otherwise be difficult to understand, and that's where Jesus was a master. That's what we call parables. Jesus is planting the seeds through his parables, and he's trying to get people to see and to understand. And so he gives them simplicity. Here's a story. This guy goes out, and he plants a mustard seed, and it grows into a great tree. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Where's the simplicity in our lives of helping people learn and understand? Yet this is only effective if the person who hears them understands the references used. Think about it. If you have never felt the touch of a feather, you cannot imagine what the wind felt like. You have to be able to relate to that. Likewise, if you've never been on a journey, the comparison doesn't help you better understand love. I've never been on a journey. I've never left my home. Been right here. So Jesus reaches in and he says, I know these people. I know where they're coming from. I know what they do for a living. And I'm going to give them parables that they can relate to. And I dare say many of those people understood his parables even better than us because they were living that life. The descriptions may get us closer to the meaning, but it's not the same as experiencing it. It is the difference between knowing about something and actually knowing something. In our scripture, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to several things to enhance the crowd's understanding of his teaching. He ends his teaching by creating a more descriptive explanation of the kingdom of heaven. He explains it in five parables. After two detailed parables about the sower and the seeds and the weeds, it is as though someone said to Jesus, "Tell us more about the kingdom of heaven. How would you describe it?" So Jesus concludes his message to the crowd by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, yeast, hidden treasure, a merchant who searches for and finds a fine pearl, and finally a net." Each of these expands our understanding of God's kingdom. As we, as parents and grandparents, try to expand our children's knowledge of what it means to be a good person or about the kingdom of heaven. But it's the seeds many feel is the most effective comparison. Seeds. The smallest of all seeds, the mustard seed, grows into a tree. Emphasizing the size of the seeds refers to the modest beginning of the kingdom of heaven being realized on earth. And the best way for people to realize the kingdom of heaven on earth is if they start when they're children. And if we can teach them then, it grows like a mustard seed. And they begin to see what the kingdom of heaven is like. They begin to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The next mention of the mustard seed in the gospel can be found in chapter 17, verse 20, where Jesus tells his disciples that the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. You remember that one? Faith like that can move a mountain. What a beautiful way to explain. Perhaps we can take that seed into our hearts. What is almost invisible can have an overwhelming impact. Like the seeds mentioned in the previous parables, the mustard seed, too, will produce a yield. Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to yeast, which, by the way, yeast is found on the skin of fruits and berries. Seed. You grow the fruit, the berries. You get yeast. As we know, when yeast is added to flour, it causes the flour to rise. Yeast is the key ingredient for making bread because without it, bread cannot be fluffy and light. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is transformative and uplifting, which transformative was a really big part of our General Assembly this year. That churches need to be transformative. What does that mean to you? Changing with the times? Transforming in a way that it appeals to everyone to come and be a part of the kingdom of God? Without God's reign, life would be flat and dull. It is the presence of God's kingdom that empowers God's people to rise above life's circumstances. Another beautiful illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure that has been found because it brings joy. In the parable, Jesus speaks of a man who, in his joy, goes and sells all he has to buy the field. The man Jesus describes is so filled with joy, he risked it all to obtain more. In exchange for the possibility of finding more treasure, he sells all he has. If you find the kingdom of heaven, would you not want to sell everything so that you can get it all? Be a part of that larger kingdom. But remember, the kingdom of heaven is not simply joy. It is a joy that is worth all you have. My friend Mike from the Navy, who passed away, I remember when he and I received news that Vietnam was coming to a close and we could go home. He said, "This is the happiest I've ever been. I'm going home to start a family, and I will never leave again. He went home. He never left. And he said he discovered the kingdom of heaven. I asked him what he meant, and he said, "My family is my treasure, and God made it possible." About the merchant who is searching for a pearl, Jesus states, "On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. Like the man who finds a hidden treasure, the merchant who is searching for a pearl sells all he has to purchase it." Jesus teaches the kingdom of heaven is a treasure. It is valuable and something to be valued. Also, Jesus underscores the kingdom of heaven must be sought. That's an important part. Many of us overlook. The kingdom of heaven is not going to just fall in your lap while you're sitting here or anywhere else. You have to look for it. Just like the man looked for the pearl. Jesus makes that clear. We must seek the kingdom of heaven. Lastly, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a net. The net caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out bad. As in the parable of weeds, Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven as diverse and inclusive. Fish of all kinds in that net. Diverse. But all in the net, inclusive. Again, the angels come to separate the evil from the righteous. It is important to note the net contained various kinds of fish. And just as the fish exist today in the sea, we must also live together, exist peaceably, and live and leave ourselves in the hands of Christ. It would also be very important if we were to leave judgment to God. One last thing we need to look at. Jesus speaks of the role of the scribe. He concludes, "Therefore, every scribe trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." As we all know, scribes are often portrayed in a negative light in the gospel alongside the Pharisees and Sadducees. Yet the role of the scribes was extremely important. They had authority over the law. They were trained, in this case specifically, for the kingdom of God. These scribes are leaders who are responsible for mining the wisdom of the law, both the old and the new, and teaching it to the people. In a modern context, the scribes would be those who have been trained in the gospel. Scribes, out of the treasure of their knowledge of God's kingdom, must share the ancient context, the old, and the contemporary, the new, with God's people. In other words, those who are responsible for the law must make it relevant for God's people. If you know all the law, but you can't get that out and get people to understand it, what good is it? You got to know it. You got to be able to explain it. These five parables have taught us more about the kingdom of heaven. While the parables about the sower and seeds and the weeds may have appealed to the farmers in the crowd, these parables would have been meaningful to fishermen, bakers, and merchants. Their wide appeal would have helped the crowd to have a better understanding of the kingdom of heaven. We must seek the kingdom of heaven in order to find it, and when we find it, we have found a treasure. This treasure will bring joy that empowers us to rise above life's difficulties, to rise above difficult circumstances. We experience the kingdom of God in community, where we say all are welcome at the table. If we were to turn someone away from this table, what a shame that would be. Because Jesus invites us all to come to the table. When the kingdom of heaven is relevant, our community will respond. God says, "Go spread seeds of joy, compassion, understanding, and love, so all may see the kingdom of heaven in your congregation, in your church." That means us. relevancy. The kingdom of heaven isn't relevant, and we don't help people understand how relevant it is, they're not coming. Community, that's where you make it relevant. Not just this community, but the wider community and around the world. So with that, let us think about not only Jesus and his parables, but remember, we're responsible for planting seeds. We are responsible for planting seeds. It's not just me. It's not just Jim. All of us should be out planting seeds that people may know the kingdom of God and know that they are loved. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you this day, we know oftentimes we have failed you and we haven't really been an example of your love and forgiveness, your understanding, your sympathy, your empathy. There is so much that we fail to do. We ask that you continue to live in our hearts and in our minds and empower us with your Spirit that we may be better followers of your Son, that we may spread the word and live the word, that all may know you are our God. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.